Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast, where we discuss all sorts of things Germanic heathenry related. My name is Jesse. I am your host. Let's get into it. All right, everybody. Hail and welcome back to this week's episode of the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast, a Midgard Musings production available to you on all of your major podcast streaming sites, platforms, including YouTube, Spotify, and beyond. If you guys are watching this today on the YouTube channel, please, if you don't mind, give this channel a subscribe. Click that subscribe button. And if you're watching this on Spotify or listening to this on Spotify, maybe you just happen to stumble upon it in your internet perusings and you're not yet following this podcast, encourage you to do so there as well. Be sure to check the description or show notes of this podcast. There's a link there that has all of my social media platforms where you can follow me, subscribe, like, whatever the platform asks for you to do, please do it and see what we got going on here. I have a Patreon page. I have a Teespring or Spring store with merchandise if you are so inclined and want to support what I do here monetarily. There are several ways that you can do it, and it's all there in that Linktree link. So thank you so much for checking that out. Another hot one this week, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, I tell you, it's been a while since I've remembered a summer just quite this hot, and I've been living in Tennessee for nigh on to 20 years, and it's just been rough. I'm gonna be so happy when the summer months are in the rear view mirror, but it is what it is, and be sure that you guys are staying hydrated, stay cool as best you can, and be safe out there. We got a fun episode, I think, today. And here's kind of a funny preface to that before we get into the topic. This is the second time that I've shot this episode, or I filmed this episode, because the first time that I filmed it, I went to go into post-production and start working on, getting everything spliced up and edited how I like it to get ready to release today. And, I start listening to the video because that's what I do. I listen through it. And I didn't hear anything. I heard like background music, like you hear kind of, softly in the background here. But I was watching my mouth move and there was nothing coming out of it. And I'm like, let me refresh or something. And then I realized that at one point during the episode, I looked at my streaming or my recording software. And it was muted. My microphone was muted. and it was like 30 minutes of the episode that I had nothing coming out of my mouth. Like I was talking, but you wouldn't have been able to hear it. And then I caught it because I looked over and I saw like I had a slash through my microphone. And I said, oh, no, maybe I just, because I thought I maybe had like bumped it and it was, a few seconds. So I like backed up my sentence and realized that, after the fact that, a whole hour's worth of the episode was only half audible, or, you can only hear half of it. So I had to scratch that file and say, start over. So that's kind of funny. In a way, like you think about why things happen, there's a reason that way things happen, at least the way a lot of times the way I look at things is, there's a reason behind stuff. And that was not an episode that, as much as I thought it was well put together, just it wasn't what it was supposed to be. So hopefully this one is better and you guys enjoy it, because today's episode is another viewer request. And this comes to the podcast via way of our hotline, the Midgard Musings hotline, the phone number that I encourage everybody to call if you have thoughts or ideas. And this request It was a bit of a drawn out one. We're going to hear a little bit today from this person who calls in, who called in last week. Because when you leave a voicemail on the hotline, like you've got 3 minutes to say what you want to say, and then it'll cut off. So if you want to say more, you've got to call back in and finish what you were saying and leave another voicemail. Well, this individual, she called back 4 times and left 4 different voicemails. So we've got, you know, like 12 minutes worth of a voicemail to listen to, or I did. We're not going to listen to all of it. We're going to listen to about half or so, I'd say. Because like I'd say like maybe the first half was, there's just, you know, whenever you guys, and I want to make sure that I say this now, when I say, you know, please call in and stuff, I'm always eager to put your voice on the air, and unless you tell me otherwise, right? So if you call in and you say, look, this is just for you, you can use this topic for your content if you want, but please don't put my voice on the air, you know, and I'll respect that, and I won't. But I'm going to assume that if you call in, then it's going to be okay for me to put your voice on the air. However, I do always pre-screen the voicemails that you leave, just to make sure that there's nothing on there that could be potentially, you know, revealing of information, whether, you know, personal or otherwise, that, you know, could be potentially harmful if it got into the ears or out here on the internet. So I always want you guys to know that if you call in, even if you don't say, you know, don't put this recording out, if you don't do that, I will always pre-screen the recordings of the voicemail and make sure that there's nothing that is shared on the voicemail that could put you in harm's way or anyone else in harm's way. So, you know, in interest of that, there's going to be some topics that come up here that we're going to be listening to today. And I want to just give all of our listeners and viewers a trigger warning, because we're going to be hearing some things about trauma, PTSD, and topics that are going to circulate around like human trafficking. Okay, so fair warning, trigger warning, right? I want you guys to be aware that what we're going to be hearing today contains some topic, subject matter on that topic. And for that reason, I did not want to play all 12 minutes of this recording, because it contains a person's name, and it also contains, you know, information of a workplace. So with that being said, we're going to refrain from using this person's name that they left on their voicemail and call them by the name of the topic of today's video. Now, this person, she calls in, and we're about to hear some of what she has to say. But it's on the topic of Sigyn. Sigyn is one of the goddesses mentioned in the lore in the Norse mythology, and she is the wife of Loki. Some of you that have been heathen and maybe pagan for any length of time know the story of Loki and how Sigyn is a part of the story. There's not a lot of information in the myths about her, but before we talk more about the story, I do want to take the time to play this half of the voicemail. So again, for the sake of keeping people's identity safe and, you know, the topic at hand and making sure that everyone stays safe, we're going to call her Sigyn. Okay, so Sigyn calls in to the podcast last week and left a really heartfelt, you know, message or messages. So go ahead and, you know, listen to that recording here. Let me get the file pulled up here, and we're going to listen to see what Sigyn has to say. Let's see here. 1, 2, and 3. All right. So here we go.
All right.
By the way, this is the third of 4 recordings. I'm not including the first 2 because, again, don't want to reveal, you know, information that could put someone in harm's way. So anyway, here we go.
This is the third message. Okay. So thank you times a million. And
you're welcome.
Yeah, I really do appreciate it too. And you know, my okay, so I do have a question, and And the question is, you know, it's about trauma, I suppose. I'm 34, and when I was 15, I was basically human trafficked, and it wasn't like a sexual thing. It was I was forced to be forced labor, and then it was a sexual thing with one person who was 36 when I was 15.
Let me just say real quick, guys. Again, you know, I gave the trigger warning. You know, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that people, first of all, have to endure things like this. You know, innocent people have to endure things like this in their lives, and that this is even a thing, and a very recent thing. You know, you hear about stuff like what Sagan is mentioning, and it's like, you know, you would think that that is a long, long time ago. That doesn't happen anymore. It does happen. It happens still. I'm very sorry for what happened. So let's hear some more.
Basically, you know, I found human when I was 18, well, about 17, I'd say. And I escaped that situation. Got with my high school love, which was who I'm with right now, married 13 years. And we're both Eden. And pretty much my question is about Sagan. I don't know. I want to see more content on her. You know, I have a lot I could say on this subject. I don't even know what my question is. It's so crazy. Like, it's just like a feeling. It's hard to put the words. And I have a hard time thinking of her in, like, disconnecting her from myself, like my own personal experiences. But she's basically the only one I've ever, like honored. I mean, I'll honor all the gods. What I'm saying is she's the only one that's ever, like, not spoken to me, but, like, I don't know how to explain it. But, yeah.
I would say resonate, you know, that's a goddess that resonates with you, that is important to you because of the things that you've gone through. Now, venerating multiple deities, right? Being a polytheist, as most heathens are, obviously believing and venerating multiple gods and goddesses doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you venerate all the gods all of the time at the same time. You know, that goes into hearth cult, which we've talked about on this podcast, you know, in previous episodes. But it's okay to have a matron or patron deity. And it sounds like Sagan is your matron deity.
I've taken a lot from her, and I've just been nonstop victorious, I guess. I mean, just my journey alone, great, my health journey, my story, me being an advocate for domestic violence and human trafficking, and just how fearless I am. And my devotion and my courage and everything, like all these things that I value in myself and that took a long time to, you know, get to, I kind of feel like.
That was the first of the 12, let's see, 6 minutes. So the first half of 6 minutes. And I want to say before we go into this next segment of the recording that fearlessness, right? Devotion, dedication, things like that. These are going to be things that when we talk about Sagan, the goddess, we are going to hear examples of that. And I'm excited to talk more about that. And I'm also excited to speak on a deity who does not get a lot of media coverage, if you want to call it that, right? Like if you were to go on Google and search for information about Sagan, you're going to find just a couple of skaldic poems where she's referenced. Maybe a couple of YouTube videos where she's talked about in any great length or detail. But in terms of like historical sources or anything else that we know of, you know, her having a place in Scandinavian or Germanic heathenry, is next to non-existent. She's really only mentioned in the poems or in the mythology. So, but yeah, definitely, you know, that fearless, that devotion, dedication, faithfulness, you know, the title that we call Sigyn is Sigyn the Faithful. But anyway, let's hear more from the caller, Sigyn.
This is the last message. Well, because I'm about to start my run right now. I just did a 3-mile walk, and I got to do the rest of the run. So on to the Sigyn question or feeling. I don't know what that is. I have trauma from my experience. And, you know, when I was learning about Sigyn's story, that is the most darkest shit. Like, that's,
man.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. You know, it is probably one of the most tragic stories in the mythology that we have that has survived. Again, we're going to go into more of the detail of that after we listen to the rest of this.
And, you know, I took a lot from her because I didn't want to pretty much ruin the rest of my life by getting revenge. Let's just put it that way. And when I reported the person who did what they did to me, I was actually looked at like I was a suspect for the future crime of this person not being alive anymore. And that's very common for people who've been through what I went through because it's really hard to sleep at night for some people. Maybe it's really hard to process and you don't know what's going on. And I was lucky and fortunate enough and privileged enough to have doctors, personal trainers. You know, my husband, he was going to school to be a police officer. We had good people around us.
Great.
And, you know,
that's important. You know, I mean, any kind of experience or experiences that people have gone through in their life of such debilitating nature, you know, whether it's physical abuse, mental abuse, sexual abuse, anything like that, that can really mess people up. Having a support system to help get you through it is paramount. You know, a lot of times people who don't have those things are really up against it and aren't able to get themselves through it. So good for you, Sigyn, for having a strong support system. That's great. I'm glad that you're here to tell the story. You know, as hard of a story as it must be to tell, I have a lot of respect for you to come out and actually talk about it, you know, to call, for all intents and purposes, a random stranger, you know what I mean? Somebody who you don't know, we don't know each other, and talk about this in this detail. So that's very brave, and I have a lot of respect for you for that.
Former military, like, just doing, you know, the right things and being around the right people, and everybody's got the good head on their shoulders. So I was very lucky. And also, I don't think I could hurt a fly, if we're being honest. Anyway, I forgot what I said. But Sigyn, pretty much.
Sigyn, pretty much, man.
I just want to see more info on her. Maybe also, like, just mental. I don't even know what I'm trying to ask, but, like, there's so much information to be gotten from the stories and from other people's experiences and mental health and whatnot. And just, you know, I also had brain surgery. I had two kids, emergency C-section. You know, I've been through some stuff, let me tell you. And
sounds like it.
Never once did I give up. Never once did I want to give
up. There you go, guys. Never once. You know, never give up. Never give up. Never surrender, you know. really, really touching story. And thank you for sharing, Sigan, the caller. That is a, again, it's touching. And I don't even know a scratching of the surface of the whole story, but just hearing enough of the story and replaying the segments of your voicemails, you've definitely had a run of it, you know. But yeah, Sigan, so let's talk about the goddess now, right? Would love to have more information out there about her. Unfortunately, there isn't much, because nothing that survived through the Viking Age. If she had any existence prior to Snorri Sturluson writing his Prose Edda, because that is the only surviving text that we have, that I'm aware of at least, where she is mentioned. She's mentioned in two skaldic poems that are contained in Snorri Sturluson's Prose Edda. She's mentioned in Gylfaginning, and she is mentioned in Skaldskaparmal. So if you guys want to check those stories out, I'll have the name of them in the show notes, or the description rather. So wherever you're watching or catching this, just check either the show notes or the description, and we'll put the names of the poems down there for you so you can read about it. But I'm going to give you a rundown of Sigan. So as we mentioned early on, she is Loki's wife, and with Loki they have two children, Norfi and Vali. And we don't really hear much of anything at all about Sigan until after the Baldur incident. So when everybody is, you know, all the gods in Asgard are playing, you know, throw stuff at Baldur. Loki tricks Holder into throwing a spear or an arrow of mistletoe at Baldur, which is a fatal wound, and it kills Baldur. And then not only that, but not only is Loki responsible for Baldur's death, he also is the reason why Hel does not give him up, because when Hel is you know, tempted to be bargained with for Baldur, for him to return back to Asgard, because he is the brightest and most beloved of the gods, she says that all of creation, everything, must weep for Baldur. And everything in all the nine realms does, except for, as it turns out, the Loki in disguise. And when this is discovered, and when it is realized that it is all Loki's fault, you know, he is punished by the gods for it. And one of the things that happens is Norfi, I believe it's Norfi, gets turned into a wolf. And then Norfi, in his wolf state, kills his brother Vali. And the entrails of his brother, his guts, right, are used to bind Loki. They are turned into mythical chains or binds. And then Loki is carted away to this cave underground. And he is bound by his own son's guts to this rock, where he is to be kept imprisoned until Ragnarok. And, of course, Sigan, his wife, goes with him. Now, that's not the end of Loki's punishment, you know, because after all, now he is a kinslayer. He is, you know, an oathbreaker. He has done all of these things against his own tribe of the gods. And now, in addition to having his children transformed, you know, into these grotesque monsters and or killed, now he is bound to this rock by his own son's guts. And it furthermore, he has placed over him, I think it mentions in one of the poems that Skadi puts a snake over him. She has some sort of, you know, she's either binding him with the guts of Vali, or she's putting the snake over his head. And anyway, this snake that is positioned over him drips venom from his mouth, and it's like it burns, you know. So it's like this dripping acidic burn, you know. And so Sigan, to keep Loki from being tormented endlessly, holds a bowl over him and catches the venom that drips from the snake's mouth. Well, of course, the bowl will fill up, and periodically Sigyn has to go and empty the bowl and then come back and continue the process. Well, while Sigyn is away emptying the bowl of venom, the venom continues to drip, and every time the venom lands on Loki, he writhes in agony. And it is said in the stories that that is when we have earthquakes. It is because Loki is stirring and writhing in agony from the venom that drips from the snake. That is part of his punishment. And that's about the extent that we know of Sigyn. She's mentioned as being by his side and there to catch the venom that the snake drips and keeps him from being tormented endlessly from this venom. By this venom. And so this is why I like to use the term Sigyn the Faithful. You know, she is so devoted to her husband and so committed to him that she doesn't question the gods either. You know, she is mentioned in the stories as being one of the Aesir gods. So she is part of the tribe that imprisons and sentences Loki to this torturous existence until Ragnarok, you know? And she doesn't question that, and she doesn't abandon her husband. So she is faithful to two sides of this scenario, which makes me remember what our caller Sigyn mentioned, where she said that she really takes a lot from the goddess Sigyn, because she doesn't or hasn't been one to seek vengeance, and of all the things that we read about the various aspects of the gods in the mythology, there are some, like Vidar, for example, one of Odin's sons. He is a god of vengeance. He seeks vengeance after Odin is killed at Ragnarok, and he kills Fenrir to avenge his father's death. Sigyn, and there might be other gods that maybe have that same sort of aspect or attribute attested to them, but Sigyn isn't one of them. She is not a god or goddess of vengeance. She is a god of faithful devotion. And she accepts the fact that I have a husband that I must be devoted to, and I am also part of a tribe, and when the tribe's law is broken, I am bound by that law. And I am, I have to respect that. And regardless of what she had happened to her and to her family, she is right there at Loki's side and accepts the decision that was made, So she has, again, this stoic bravery, this undying devotion, faithfulness, that is, I think, admirable, Again, something of a very brave nature. She is also, I would like to consider thinking of her as a goddess associated with dealing with grief, Because think about it. Her children were transformed into a monster and ripped apart by one of their own, Her one son is transformed into the wolf, and then that son of hers kills the other son. She now has none of her children of her own anymore that she knows them, and the one of her children's guts are chains now that keep her husband in prison. How grievous of a thing, right? How brutal, how grotesque must that be? And again, this is a sentence that was imposed by the very tribe that she is associated with and part of, And it's not like she was like, well, that's my husband. How dare you? I'm gonna get you for this. You'll rue the day that you ever did this to Loki, because I'm gonna have my revenge. It's not a thing that Sigyn is mentioned of feeling, but surely she had to have felt grief, And I think that is an important aspect of Sigyn that needs to be remembered as well, is dealing with grief, and it's part of our human experience, You know, there's going to be times in all of our lives where we are presented with grievous situations. We are going to experience loss. We are going to experience things of stress or anxiety and all of these various, you know, plights of physical and mental illness that can be debilitating and destroy people. You know, I've seen it happen to people I love. And I know that if you're listening and watching to this podcast, you have as well. You either are someone who is, you know, enduring plights of physical and or mental illness, or know people who are or have, or both, you know. So grief is something that we're all well aware of, you know. And there's going to be times throughout life that we are going to be really put up against it, you know. Can you imagine being in a position like Sigyn and facing something like that? And not only facing it, enduring it, but not approaching the situation in a vengeful way against your own, you know? Because let's face it, Loki was in the wrong. You know, if you want to look at the way that society was at the time and how the stories are framed around the way the world's, you know, the way the world is viewed and how the Germanic peoples at the time viewed the world, what Loki did was a crime, flat out. And at those times, I mean, laws were in place against crimes such as this. When you broke the law, I mean, it's like anything nowadays, you know, I mean, you break the law, you have to pay the fine. You have to do, you know, do the crime, do the time, pay the fine, you know. And she knew that, and she accepted that, and is like, you know, yeah, you did, you messed up. But because he messed up, because he did what he did, she was still faithful to him. It's like, I'm not abandoning you just because you broke the law. I am going to suffer along with you in my own way. You won't have to suffer alone, you know. I will give you relief as much as I'm able to. I will catch this acidic, you know, burning venom, so that way you're not tormented constantly. You know, she does the best she can with that. And I also think that, you know, even though she's, you know, not mentioned of it very greatly in terms of her attributes or aspects of being a mother, she is in fact a mother figure, you know, and every mother loves their children, you know. I would like to say that, at least, that, yeah, even if it's not shown or displayed in the ways that you would think are ideal or whatever, there, a mother's love is, can rattle the world, can shake the very foundations of the earth. That's how powerful a mother's love is. And she is so loving, you know, if you think about the scenario and everything that this that story paints us a picture of. Her love for Loki as a wife, you know, to her husband and to her children. I think that a mother's love is something that is also an attribute or an aspect of Sigyn that we can safely, you know, come away with or walk away from knowing about her, you know. And so when we talk about various aspects of the gods, you know, I'm always one to first and foremost look to things that pertain to what's closer to me than the gods are, right? Like, I'm the type of a heathen who looks at my ancestors for sources of inspiration, guidance, strength, you know, that sort of thing, before I would look to the gods for it. But I don't not include them. They are included, you know, so they aren't outside of my practices, but they're not the first things that I go to. A lot of other folks might be the ones who, in times of grief or agony or difficulty, right, they look first to the gods. I know this is, I think, probably more true for newer heathens, you know, coming into this, especially if you're coming into it, this practice, having left another religion, like Christianity or something, where, you know, the divine, the sacred God, whatever, is the most important thing there is, and there is nothing greater than that. So you look to the gods, right? So there might be folks who are finding out now about Sigyn, or having not thought about her much, you know, having read the stories or heard the stories and just never really put too much stock or thought into it, that are hearing this now and hearing the depth at which we're going into it and going, wow, if there was a god or goddess in our pantheon who you could connect with when needing help getting through times of grief, learning lessons of devotion, courage, faithfulness, bravery, you know, all these things, love, you know, unconditional love. If there was ever a deity to look to for that sort of inspiration, then and there you go. There's Sigyn, you know. And I hadn't previously thought much of her at all, you know. And it's interesting how when we look at, and I'm going to just say, like, I've fallen victim of this too, you know. Like, we always look to the gods as like, you know, well, Thor, you know, because he's mentioned more in the stories, you know. He has actual place names in Scandinavia. Odin, same thing, you know. Freyr, you know, all of the gods that have a strong presence, a vibrant background. They have place names named after them. We have historical evidence that shows that they were venerated by the people. We don't have anything like that for some of these lesser known ones that have come up through later on in the myths. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing that we know of, at least to my knowledge, that, you know, Loki and Sigyn were ever venerated as deities by people. And how we tend to just focus on one or a couple different gods or goddesses. And then, yeah, different strokes for different folks, you know. It just kind of depends on your practices and how you want to approach it. I just, because I'm talking now today and about Sigyn, doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to, you know, turn around and create, you know, a space on my altar for her. But if this is going to be that little bit of a seed that gets planted in my mind, that somebody asked me about it later on, I'm going to say, well, actually, I talked about this one time, you know, and I had somebody call into the podcast, and even though their question doesn't really, I wouldn't classify it as a question. It was more like this statement of awareness, right? Bringing awareness to what exists, bringing awareness to what's going on. And I do have to say, you know, that it makes real good sense that for someone to have gone through what they've gone through, right? Or call it Sigyn, for her to have gone through what she's gone through in life, it makes total sense that the goddess Sigyn is her matron, you know, her main focus in her spiritual practices over the years. Because the agony, the pain, the grief, the struggle, it can turn people really into terrible people. You know what I mean? Like, again, you can become so consumed by the wrong that was done to you that it transforms you into this spiteful and vengeful person that you never fully heal, you know? And I don't want to try to sit here and say that I give it some time and you'll get through it and it'll heal. I don't think wounds like that ever really heal. You know, I think they scab over, and I think they get scarred over time, and they don't, I don't want to say they don't bleed as much or they don't hurt as much. Because again, I think that there are times and occasions and triggers that happen that reopen those old wounds. But, you know, maybe over time, you know, there are ways and calluses that get built up that make it, when the wounds do get re-aggravated, it's not quite such a burning sensation anymore, you know. Instead of it being this gushing wound, it's like, oh, just a little pinprick, or, you know, it's manageable now. I I know how to deal with this, right? It's not such a crazy thing. And I got to thinking too, you know, like talking about like old wounds and whatnot. I mean, you think about the mythology of it, Sagan and Loki, and you know, he's there till Ragnarok, right? Well, do they know when Ragnarok is? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, if you want to think about it from that angle, it's, you know, she's enduring this with him, he's enduring this indefinitely until whenever that happens, you know? Yes, sure, it'll happen one day, right? But if you want to like kind of get, you know, bring ourselves to that level of processing something like that, it's, you know, it ain't like, well, you're here for the next 40 years and you have time to think about stuff and mark your calendar down. Like, you're here until Ragnarok. Well, when's that? I don't know. But in the meantime, I'm going to try to stop it, right? Because Odin, he makes every effort to try and prevent it or delay it and stuff, you know? So it'll be on a day that ends in, a day that ends in Y, but that's, you know, Old Norse, or a day that ends in G. I don't know. Some of the dramatic days of the week, the names of the dramatic days of the week, you know, Wilderness Day, but it's D-A-E-G, right? Because anyway, but I'm getting nerdy with it. So anyway, the indefinite, you know, knowing that it's going to happen at some time, but when's that going to happen? You don't know. So you endure, or they endure, patiently, just not knowing when that's going to happen and how anxious that can cause a lot of us to be, you know, well, when am I going to catch a break? You know, I'm never going to catch a break. I can't catch a break. And I got to say this too, you know, I'm getting off the subject of Sagan a little bit, but I think it's all kind of, the dots connect a little bit, right? I've had to sever ties. I've had to walk away. I've had to cut ties from people who are just like, can't ever catch a break, you know? Well, figure it out, man. Like, find something to break the cycle, you know? Do something different. Quit just sitting there and complaining about it, you know? I mean, I've gone through stuff like that in my life. And it's easy to get caught up in that. Like, don't get me wrong. It's easy to get caught up in the moment and be like, I can't possibly get through this. And this is just my lot in life. You know, I'm destined to suck. Whatever. No, you know, if you wanna adopt that mentality and you wanna think that way, then of course that's the way it's gonna be. Life sucks sometimes, you know, not to be nihilistic, but I mean, life is pain. Life is full of suffering. That's just it. Part of it. Now, you can either condition yourself. You can either put yourself through the ringers and give yourself challenges and put yourself through these ordeals to prepare for those curveballs that life throws at you, you know, or you can just skate along and hope for the best. And then when you get, you know, T-boned by this destructive force of life that throws you way off course and you're not prepared for it, you're not conditioned for it, you haven't put yourself through ordeal or adversity to be able to handle it, then it's gonna derail you almost indefinitely. It's gonna be really hard to get back on track after that. And I think that's one of the, you know, things, and I've had some, again, crazy things happen to me in my life. Things that would have, I think, broken other people had I not gone through things up to that point in my life that taught me lessons and that prepared me for the hard times, you know? Like, you know, we see messages and memes and stuff all the time about how the sword, you know, the good sword doesn't become battle worthy until it's been put through the fire, until it's been beaten, until it's been quenched, until it's gone through all of these things, you know, had the impurities beaten out of it. Shining gold doesn't become shining gold until it's been put in the furnace, you know, subjected to those extreme conditions to pull out the impurities, pull out the slag, to get rid of that less than stellar parts. And it's, I mean, you can say that it's poetic and, you know, but it is, it's true, you know, You're not going to be able to handle things that life throws at you if you don't proactively decide to suffer. And I say that very with conviction. Choose to suffer. Choose to put yourself through things. You know, go without food. Go hungry a little bit, you know. Get hot, get sweaty, be cold, get wet. You know, put yourself through physical pain. Put yourself into situations that are going to really challenge your mental and physical fortitude. You know, do it smartly, right? You know, again, don't take what I'm saying here today as this, like, you know, in reckless abandon, you know, do something that could be potentially fatal or anything like that. I'm just saying, you know, don't stay comfortable all the time. You'll become soft and you won't be able to handle life when it really wants to mess with you, because it will. And it does. Nobody is exempt from it, you know? So proactive suffering, you know, choose to suffer, put yourself through those ordeals, because what does ordeal do? What does adversity do? It breeds worth. Yes, it breeds worth. Adversity breeds worth. Ordeal breeds worth. Not my original phrase, Eric Wordweaver Sherman from the Ravens Call. I heard that from him years ago, and you know, I never heard it put that way, but I've known that concept my whole life. You know, live a hard life. You know, put yourself through the ringer from time to time, and then, you know, when things come down the road that really test you, you're prepared for it. Is it still going to suck along the way? Yes. Yes, it will. You know, I'm not saying that you're going to be, you know, so callous to the situation that you'll have no reaction to it. It's going to elicit a reaction. You're going to feel the results of whatever it is that happens. But it's not going to be as debilitating. It's not going to be as, you know, the trauma is not going to destroy you. And I wonder if in the cases where, you know, trauma does ruin so many people's lives, you know, I have to wonder if it's because they hadn't been given the chance to be proven and tested beforehand, you know. You know, guys, we live in a generation, and we live in a time. We live in a society, but we do. We live in a period of our humanity's existence where everything is meant to be easy. How convenient everything is. Oh, you're hungry? You don't have to cook. You can look. You don't even have to leave your house. You don't even have to leave your apartment, your home, to get food brought to you. We have apps for everything. You have a question about something, you've got a mobile device that you can, you know, Google and get an answer for it in seconds. Knowledge is at our fingertips. Maybe it's not all good knowledge or you know, reputable knowledge, but it's there. It's accessible. You know, are we cold? We turn the thermostat up. Are we hot? We turn it down. You know, with enough money and with enough, you know, you can get anything you want. And I'm not saying this is the case for everybody, but relatively speaking, you know, life, we've got it easy. We've got it easy now compared in comparison in relative terms to even, you know, less than 100 years ago, you know. I mean, you know, and people be like, oh, you know, but it's, things are hard now too. Yeah, you know, I mean, look, there are things that really suck. I mean, it's very hard for people to get ahead in life. You know, everything's so damn expensive. People don't understand the meaning of faithfulness and loyalty. You know, talking about Sagan and how devoted she is. How many people nowadays, if the situation that panned out in the stories and the way that the society was at the time, the way the laws and stuff were at the time. You know, how many people nowadays would, if they're, you know, if they were in Sagan's shoes, you know, what would be the first thing they do? Well, they'd probably get on social media and bitch about it. I can't believe the Aesir did this. Guys, you know, I'm tagging them. Go and you know, shame them publicly. And, you know, and then and find ways of canceling them, you know. Can you believe what they did? This is unacceptable. Instead of being the stoic figure that Sagan is portrayed in the myth as being faithful to her tribe, understanding that when law is broken, penalties are in place for breaking of law. You know, you're not exempt from it just because you're part of the tribe, you're part of the group, part of the family. Oh, it's okay, we'll get over it. Oh, you messed up, Aaron. You done messed up, Aaron. I'm for real. You know, and that's it. Like, you know, I don't think, with the exception of small groups, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying like everybody out here is out to lunch when it comes to such concepts as loyalty, fealty, trust, troth, right? Being faithful to someone or someones, that your faithfulness to them, you know, those boundaries are not broken just because you get offended by something. Like, hey, look, when you mess up, you got to pay the price. You got to pay the shield. You know, you've got to pay the recompense. And sometimes those recompense, that recompense is because the crime was so high and it was such an egregious offense. I mean, you're cast out, you're outlawed. How that applies in modern times and stuff, I mean, that's for tribes to determine themselves. That's for kindreds and groups and things like that to determine themselves. But when it happens, it's nobody else's decision. It's no one else's right to say anything about it except for that group, at least in my opinion. You know, and if things get shared outside of the tribe's construct or the group's construct and it gets leaked out into the public, well, then of course it's going to raise alarms and it's going to be like, what the hell is wrong with you people? Why are you doing it that way? You know, and I'm being vague when I'm saying stuff. I'm not, you know, look, guys, I'm not saying that you should be, you know, chaining people to rocks indefinitely because they, you know, committed a crime in your group. Like, I feel like I have to say, you know, again, we live in this society and we live in such a time now that you have to include disclaimers on anything. It's, you know, what I'm saying is that the mythology is the mythology. It's not necessarily that you go and you say, well, I'm doing it this way because that's how the gods did it, or that's, I'm doing it, or we should do it this way because look what it says in, you know, whatever stanza of the Havamal, you know, or here's a classic one, you know, in Locust Senna, when Odin says that he will not have a drink because, or he will not have a drink unless Loki is given a drink. And now that has turned into, amongst a lot of heathens and pagan circles, as that we will not give bloat to Odin without bloating to Loki at the same time because of what it says in Locust Senna. I mean, here's my thoughts on that, since you asked, right? Since you asked without asking. I mean, that's what Odin did. You know, Odin says that he mixed their blood and they are, you know, blood brothers in a way, and that because of that oath that was taken between the two of them, he will not have a drink poured for him without one being poured for Loki. Well, what the hell does that have to do with us? You know what I mean? That's his deal with Loki, and I don't that doesn't translate to me as like, well, if I'm going to give bloat to Odin, then I have to include Loki as well. And it also hasn't ever been, you know, like, we don't have anything that suggests that was ever a concept or a thought given in Scandinavia. I think, you know, like what information we have of Odin being venerated is that Odin was a god of the kings, of the nobility, of the aristocracy, of the elite of society, whether it was the political elite, the nobility, the warrior elite, the war bands, you know, that was who that class of society at the time were who venerated Odin. They weren't the common people, you know. These folks, you know, the common folks, they were, if any of the gods were looked at, you know, from a historical sense, I mean, it was, you know, Thor and Freyr, and, you know, earlier on than that, you know, we're talking like Tyr too, you know, the Germanic tribes, like Nerthus, you know, earth worship, things like that. You didn't, we don't see anything anywhere documented, at least, or surviving that would have even suggested that this concept of we have to include Loki in our ritual because we're giving, offering to Odin, ever was a thing. So to pull that one segment out of the lore and use that as like your guiding principle to do it. I mean, look, I'm not here to tell you that if you're doing that, you're wrong. I'm just saying, in my opinion, one has nothing to do with the other. You know, just because Odin and Loki mingled blood at some point in time, it was a line in a myth. Yeah, it has nothing to do with me as a heathen. You know, I don't think that Odin is going to. Should I, you know, ever have a situation where I'm bloat, I'm performing bloat to Odin, that he's going to ignore me or not, engage with what's going on because I didn't include Loki in it. I don't think that's how it works. It doesn't make sense to me. And so there's a lot of that, I think, that comes around. You know, there's a lot of that people look at and say, well, because of how it's in the lore, because of what they said, you know, this is how we have to do it. I mean, this isn't the Bible, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't the same as what Christians have. This isn't, you know, doctrine that is the Christians have, you know? Law, customs, doctrines, things like that are established amongst the tribes, you know. So my tribes, through customs, law, are going to be my customs and my laws and our laws, not yours, not theirs, unless you are part of our group and part of our collective, you know. So yeah, I go, you know, here we go, random ramblings, you know, we go off on different topics and different tangents, right? There's mine for the week. Don't take the lore so seriously. I can't get it out. Don't take the lore so seriously. But learn from them, I guess, is my point. You know what I mean? Like, maybe there's lessons to be picked up along the way. I mean, here we are talking about a goddess who has just a couple of references made of her. And, you know, throughout this podcast, I'm like, you know, maybe this is a goddess that you can look to for help with things like dealing with grief or drawing strength and inspiration from her because of her level of devotion and her committed, you know, faithfulness and stuff. And some of these other things that we've talked about already on this episode. Maybe it's a little oxymoronic for me to be saying, don't follow the lore like it's the Bible. And over here saying, on the other hand, like, take Sigyn as an example for certain things. I think the messages are different, though. I think what I'm saying is, you know, you can see some of the relatable things about the gods and the stories and find inspiration there. But I don't think we should be taking it as, you know, holy commandments that need to be adhered to, or else, you know, or else we're going to get our, you know, our son turned into a wolf. But anyway, guys, that's my ramblings for this week on Sigyn the Faithful. And thank you, Sigyn, who called in and wanted this to be talked about. If you guys have anything about Sigyn that you know of, maybe your own hearth cult, your own practices, your own experiences working with this goddess that you want to share in the comments or share in the show notes or anywhere that you find an option or an area to put it, please feel free to share it down there. I would love to hear from you guys. And if you have more source material that talks about Sigyn outside of what I've already mentioned, and what is down in the description and show notes, would love to hear about that as well. So you can comment, you can write into the podcast. The email address for it is midgardmusingstn@gmail.com. You can also call in to the hotline just like Sigyn did, 615-671-9832. It is a Google Voice number. You have 3-minute limits on your voicemails, but if you want to call back multiple times and do all that, then yes, by all means, please do. As a reminder, if you do call in, I can put your voice on the air, but I will always listen to it ahead of time. And if there's anything that I feel could be oversharing of information that could put you or someone else at risk, I won't do that. And as always, if you do not want your voice on the air, please be sure to let me know in the recording that you do not want your voice on a podcast. It's just something that you wanted to do to talk to me directly, and I will respect that. I might allude to the conversation in a future episode, but I will never put your voice on the air if you explicitly do not want me to do so. Okay? So that's my guarantee, and you can take that to the bank. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you did, give it a like on the video platform, follow along on the Spotify platform, share it around wherever you're catching this from. Subscribe and follow to all of my socials that are linked in the link tree link down in the description and show notes of this episode. And thank you so much for being here today and rambling with me for the last bit. So until we talk to each other again, may the gods continue to notice you, and may your ancestors smile upon you. Thanks again.